Well, good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, for this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I miss y'all so much. Thank y'all for praying for me. My back, the reason why I'm here, because my back has been hurting. And last week, when I planned to be here, something else happened. So, you know, when you try to do the Lord's will, something always happens. Amen? Amen. Amen. Before we get started with the word, let's do one of my favorites. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While others are calling, do not pass me by. What they call them? Savior, Savior, my humble cry. Why was I calling? Do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy. Let me at the throne mercy, find freely. Near in Lord, help my unbelief. They call him Savior, Savior. I mean, you know, he won't pass you by. If you call on the name of Jesus, he'll answer every time. Like I always say, I used to be able to call my mama. I can't call her no more. But I can always call on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, today, I want to answer this old question that everybody has to answer, no matter if you're male or female, no matter if you're black or white, everybody has to answer the same question. My brother and I, you know, in our academic career, and I'm sure he would agree with me, when we were in Bible college, we had to take many exams and many preparation for tests. And based on how well you did, it's best if you pass or fail. Well, in this text that we're dealing with today, me and my brother, we're going to tag team this thing. Because you know I love when we tag team. Jesus asked the ultimate question. Jesus asked Jesus asked the ultimate question to his disciples. He says, what do men say about me? And he says, the disciples respond and say, some say you are Elijah. Some say you are a prophet. Some say you are a good teacher. But he flips it around and says, okay, I've heard about what society says about me. I, I, I know what they say about me, but what do you say about me? And that's when Peter, he spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What's your answer to the number one question? It's the title what we're dealing with. And my brother, you wanna dig in first, or you want me?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Matthew 16, verses 13 through, I go through 17, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, what we want to get across to you is it don't matter if you're 8 years old or 80 years old, black, white, male or female, everybody's going to have to decide who they believe that Jesus is.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, my brother, but I think there's no other time in 2022 to ask that basic question.
Yeah.
Everybody has a makeup about who Jesus is. He asks two questions, really, in this text. He says, what do society say about me? And he says, and they say, oh, some say you are Elijah, some say you are a prophet, some say you are a good teacher. And, you know, if we really want to bring Jesus' words into 2022, the society, the culture has changed, but the idea of who we think Jesus is remained the same. Because, you know, Jesus is a good teacher. Jesus is a good prophet. Jesus is a good moral leader. Oh, Jesus being the Son of God. Wait a minute. You ask me to declare something that I'm not sure about.
Come on now. All right.
See, whether you know it directly or indirectly, everybody is deciding who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Jesus is my homeboy. Or Jesus is my best friend.
Yeah.
But I decide who I want Jesus to be.
Come on now.
Let me just warn you right here. See, what the thing is, people want to worship Jesus on their terms. Let me just warn you. I'm back. I thank God I'm back, because I'm back doing what I love doing, and that's preaching God's word. Amen. One thing I know, people like to worship God on their terms.
Come on now.
They never want to worship God on his terms. Anytime that we worship God on our terms, we're not worshiping God at all.
All right.
Because we're saying, Jesus, I love you, but I only love you this much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love you, but I don't want you in my business.
Come on, man.
Can I really, my brother, what?
Go ahead.
Can I really dig in this?
Go ahead.
Society is going to tell you what they believe about Jesus Christ.
All right.
Well, they're going to tell you either directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, I love you, but I want to love you on my terms.
Come on now.
Because loving Jesus on your terms is not loving Jesus at all. Because think about society. He says, they say, oh, we believe Jesus is a good teacher.
Yeah.
He's a good moral leader. But notice what society don't say. Then society, correct me if I'm wrong, but right, you're a Bible scholar just like I am. Society never says, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Jesus, you are the Savior. You remind us of Elijah. You remind us of Moses. You remind us of John the Baptist.
Come on, man.
But Son of God, I can't do that. I can't deal with that.
Yeah.
You know what? Can I just be real?
Go ahead.
You know why people don't want to deal with Jesus being the Son of God?
Come on, man.
Because the more I come to understand who Jesus is, the more I'm responsible for. Let me say that again. The more I understand who Jesus is, the more I'm responsible for. See, people don't want to take personal responsibility. I'm going to write a book, if the Lord allows me, before he take me home, talking about the gospel of responsibility.
All right.
And you know what? Because people think, oh, Jesus called people to take personal responsibility. They don't want the real Jesus. Can I dip in somebody Kool-Aid?
Say that.
All right. Let's deal with the whole thing that happened to me. You know, the whole thing that's happened to Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
She got this, she claimed to be a believer, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, I wouldn't be mentioning it if she didn't claim to be a believer.
Yeah.
But she got this new album that's so satanic that I'm saying, where's your believership?
Yeah. Yeah.
So many people follow Jesus by name,
yeah.
But their life don't match up what they say. If you just read the lyrics of that album is so synthetic.
Yeah.
People say, well, I love Jesus. You can say you love Jesus by your lips, but show me your lifestyle. Show me how you treat your wife, how you take care of your children, how people come see you in the nursing home.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, people say, oh, I love Jesus. Well, you can't love Jesus talking about the stuff that she talked about in the album. It's so Jezebel.
Wow.
I can't even mention it.
Wow.
So the thing is, we say we love Jesus, but it's based on our lifestyle. And let's, my brother, I'm gonna say this. Notice who answered the question. Who got it theologically right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Peter.
Yeah.
But if you read a little further,
yeah.
he calls him the Son of God.
Yeah.
Then he called, Jesus says, okay, y'all, I'm about to go to the cross. It's about to happen. It's about to go down. And Peter comes up and says, I forbid you, Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what Jesus says,
yeah.
He says, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a stumbling block.
Yeah.
So you could be, what I'm saying, brother, you could be theologically correct,
yeah, yeah,
on one hand,
yeah,
but you can stop the will of God on the other hand.
Yeah.
Talk, Talk about that, brother.
You know, this passage has so much meaning.
Yes, sir.
You know, who do you say Jesus is as an indicator, you understand, of your believership and your servitude? Because Jesus introduces himself as the Son of Man, right? So who do you say Jesus is? See, we got to find a refuge there. Now, what do you mean, Rev? Whatever you think of who you think Jesus is, right, is the person that you go to in the time of need. So you should find refuge in the seven I am, that I am the bread of life.
Come on.
So when trouble and things start coming your way, you should find a refuge in understanding who Jesus is.
Come on.
Right? You say, further on down there, they say only through the Holy Spirit. See, it is so important that we recognize who Jesus is in our life. I tell you a story every time that I come here, and a lot of people on my Zoom ministry, they hear it. I often refer to this thing called believership. See, we want to be religious, but we don't want to be believers. See, religion is something that we can practice, and it's traditional. We never question whether it's right or wrong, the origin of it, we just follow. We go to every Sunday, we do the same thing. Why? Because mama did it, grandma did it, this is. But see, believership is something that is totally different. People say, well, what is believership? See, believership is the same thing that caused you to want to lay down your life for your mother. Why? Because when you were born, you have no recollect of that birth. You don't have no memory of your mother's conception. But someone told you that was your mother. And because someone told you that was your mother, you believed that with your mind, body, and soul.
Come on.
Why? Because now I'm only willing to believe that my mother would die for me. I believe that, but guess what? I can live for her. And see, that's the type of relationship Jesus. See, when you find out who he is, you understand that believership and knowing that Jesus is the Son of the living God should cause you to move in a certain direction. Right? Because the person who believes that their mother is their mother not only is willing to die for their mother, they're willing to live for their mother. Are you with me? So Jesus wants us not only to have this distant relationship and understand that I am the Son of God. Now, why is that important? Because Jesus referenced to being the Son of God. Why? Because in John 3:16, it starts off with the love that came down from heaven. Are you with me?
Yes.
Huh? Why is it important that he's the Son of God? Because I represent the love for those who didn't deserve it. I represent the love for those who didn't even declare that I was his son. It's important that we understand who Jesus is. And then, in understanding who Jesus is, then we can transition to the point we understand where we should be. Are you with me?
Yes.
Huh? You say Jesus is the blueprint. Can I just go there?
Come on.
I have this problem with religion. Because now I'm an educated soldier. You understand? It's something, you know, when we're soldiers in the army, right? But yeah. You got some soldiers that don't know nothing and are willing to go to the front line and not even die for the cause, just die. But when you become an educated soldier, I'm talking about somebody who has a relationship with God. The edification and the work and the depth, all of that plays a role in who God is in my life. So I'm not just going to the battlefield fighting someone else's battle.
Yeah.
I know what the battle looks like now.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
The battle is not so much on the outside. It has a lot to do with the inside. See, I don't want to go there, but I have to go there.
Yes, sir.
See, Lord help me, because I don't want to go there. But, see, the church is so confused right now because, see, we think the enemy is outside the building.
Ooh! Yeah.
See,
come on.
We believe that the enemy, like my man says, is Beyonce. But, see, Beyonce is an entertainer. But we got pastors and preachers that molesting our children, and we don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
We got people stealing our money. We got neighborhoods that got more churches than nursing homes, and ain't nobody talking about it.
Yes.
We got more churches. We take up more money on a Sunday, but where is that?
Yes.
Ain't nobody asking these questions. So we say that we want to be godly, but see, God fed. I'm gonna call it Matthew. Say Jesus fed the multitude.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
With somebody else's lunch. Are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And here we is. We got a community full of churches, and we waiting on a stimulus. Y'all ain't with me this.
Yes, sir.
See, if you want to, if you want to say who Jesus is, and he's the blueprint, well, it also has to work both ways. We have to look at Jesus, then we have to look at ourselves. Mm-hmm. And have this conversation, what are we not? Not what are we?
Yes, sir.
What are we not doing? Not what we're doing. We need to have this deep conversation. See, when you find out who Jesus is in your life, then you start taking this examination. Huh?
Yes, sir.
And you start looking within yourself and realizing what you're not. And that's how you please God, by transforming that part. Because Paul says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes, sir.
See, not your vision, but your mind.
Yes, sir.
See, your vision causes you to look at someone else's mistakes. And to call out somebody else's bad doing it. But your heart causes you to look inward and recreate or correct some things going on in your own life. See, it's more than about just reading the text. Who do you say I am? If you say that I am the Son of God, well, you understand that guess what? There's refuge.
Yes, sir.
But there's also awareness.
Yes, sir.
I'm preaching now.
Yes,
there's also awareness.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? So what do I need to be aware of? If I want to be more like God, and the only blueprint I have is the Word of God, well, I need to start examining myself by the Word.
Yes, sir.
Not examining others.
Yes, sir.
No, you know what they do? See, if you ever want to fix a problem in your life, stop blaming someone else. If you realize you're the problem, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fix it.
Yes, sir.
Because nobody wants to be broken.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Nobody wants to present a broken jaw. Yes, sir. You understand? So I'm through, brother. I ain't want to go on.
Oh, no. You're good. No, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because I think you're right. Taking that personal responsibility, we have to declare who Jesus is to us. See, to me, Jesus is more than a good teacher.
Come on now. All right.
He's more than just good moral leader. Jesus to me is my savior.
Come on now. Stay
crazy. I'm gonna say something. I'm not gonna mention who said it, but I'm gonna just tell you what they say.
Yeah.
Somebody, I got worried of somebody saying something so heretical, I almost jumped out of my chair. The so-called preacher said, God, we as Christians, in order to trust him, we gonna have to forgive God.
Forgive God.
Forgive God. Let me say that again. She said, in order for us to trust him, we have to forgive God for what he's done.
Yeah.
Now, you and I went to Bible college. I'm a seminary, working on masters.
Yeah.
Brother Ricky, even if I didn't have my degrees, my many awards I got on my wall, I know a third grader would not make that statement.
Yeah.
Because you know what that statement says?
Yeah.
You calling God a sinner.
Yeah.
See, let me just say this, but I gotta get back to you.
No, go ahead.
What we say and what we think about Jesus matters. Who do you say I am?
Come on, man.
She said what she thought about Jesus. She says, we're gonna have to forgive God for the stuff he allows. Let me just say this. And my brother, if I die today, remember I say this. I'm in a wheelchair for almost I've been 42 years in March. I spent all my life in a wheelchair. God don't owe us nothing.
Come on now, say that again.
God don't owe me one more day. He don't owe me one more breath. If I roll out this building and then die, I can't blame God. Say, Lord, why you let me die? All I can say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord, for my 41 years. And dying on a Friday.
Yeah. Come on now.
God don't need us. He chooses to use us by his grace. Everything I do, God give me the ability to do it. It's by his grace. It's by the grace of God we still breathe. Because we could have died 2 years ago when COVID first hit. And COVID ain't going nowhere.
Amen.
Let me save your nerves. COVID ain't going nowhere until God says it's going somewhere.
All right.
So, what we say and what we think about Jesus matters. And you know what? I put this on my podcast. I said in my podcast, I don't want to be nowhere around when she made that statement, because she got to pray to God that God the Almighty don't strike her down. It matters what we think about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ don't owe you another day on this earth. So thank God for the day you have, because this day might be your last.
Yeah.
So what we say and think about Jesus Christ, and people say, why call out Beyonce? Correct me wrong, brother. You a Pauline scholar.
Yeah.
Paul called out people.
Yeah.
People say, brother, don't call people up. Well, tell Paul that.
Yeah.
Go read Romans. I forgot the chapter, but read Romans. Read our first, second Timothy. He tells them, he mocked them, and he says, involve those people. And for us, let me just say this. I'll get back to you, brother. You can close. For us not to say anything, we give those people permission.
Yes.
What's the thing called when you sin? By omission?
Yeah.
Commission.
Yeah.
Omission. Because we don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. If I see a truck coming your way and Brother Ricky don't see it, I'll say, hey Brother Rick, get out the way, truck is coming. I say, well, it ain't me.
Yeah.
But if I love Rick, and I call him my brother. I want the best for my brother. So we're supposed to be the body of Christ. Body of Christ means family. I'm not going to let my brother do something that's contrary to the word of God. People tell me, I got a call yesterday talking about, oh, don't mention people by name. Why, Paul did it? Read your Bible. You know why? Thank you, Lord. You know why people mention, don't want to mention people my name? Because they're not sure of the Bible they read. See, I'm so sure. I don't know everything about God. I'm still learning. But I'm so sure about what I preach that I can back up everything I'm saying by the word. See, people scared. We got people in the church scared. Oh, don't mention Beyonce. She trying. What you say and what you do tell me a lot about Jesus Christ. And I know we struggle. We all struggle. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But it's called sanctification for a reason. My brother, you're a Pauline scholar. Paul says, okay, this in Romans, in the first half of Romans, he says, okay, this is how you believe in Christ. He said, in the second half, he says, okay, now you believe this is the way you should live. If you confess Christ, you should live out Christ. That's all I gotta say, brother. You can close it.
You know, my ministry is changed. I always, you know, preaching has never been a problem for me. Like, you know, that's the problem. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Preaching has never been a problem, but that's the problem.
Yes, sir.
Because once you start to regurgitate and emulate what you were raised to do, it's no longer considering God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of things that we do, we emulate, or we regurgitate information that was given us that we never questioned is correct or not. So what we become to do, we become the same mold of preachers. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We start preaching the same, sounding the same.
Yes, sir.
Want to drive the same cars and live in the same neighborhood. We you know, a preacher is identified by what he wears and what he drives, but not by who.
Yes.
Father is. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
See, so many times this is why it's so important that you know who Jesus is, because there's so much deception that is going on in this world. See, if you don't know who Jesus is, see, you're gonna get confused. We're tithing and offering. I ain't going there. You don't get confused with chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians when they're talking about, but my reward is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
See, you're gonna get confused when Paul started talking about all this stuff because of what you've been taught. So my ministry is going, it's a change, don't it? And I was telling my wife the other day that it became uncomfortable because now I've read so much of Paul that I'm talking about the church all the time.
Yes, sir.
I've read so much of Paul and how Paul walks within and holds the body of God accountable to where now that's how I preach.
Yes, sir.
Because see, the church want to preach to the world. But the church got to realize the world has never left the church. You understand? See, the church wants to preach to the world, and the world has no consideration about what the church is doing. So while we out there trying to increase our membership, are y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
We bring in some. You understand what I'm saying? We add on to our worldliness because now the church want to do what everybody else do. We want to grow. We want to be seen. We want to have some money in the coffer. You understand? But see, Jesus wasn't worried about money in the coffin. Jesus worried about what you did with the coffin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
Y'all remember the conversation about the myrrh? Yes. You understand? Yes. Hold on, now we can make some money off of it. We can eat off of this for a while.
Yeah. Yes.
He said, hold on, y'all, your mind is messed up.
She's preparing me for my burial.
You with me?
Yeah.
See, y'all worried about the wrong things.
Yeah.
And that's where the church is. You can find the church in that text because right now we got to worry about all we. You know what? I was in corporate America for 10 years. Every year in corporate America, and I'm going to close on this here, and I want to share this with you. Every year in corporate America, we would have the first quarter, that's January, February, March, right?
Yeah.
And we would ask, what did we do wrong and what could we do better than we did last year?
Yeah.
Now, this is the corporate world.
Yeah.
It's world. Why? Because success is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to get all they can. Now, the ultimate goal is to fulfill the mission statement, because every church has a mission statement. They wanna get to a certain point where they performed and completed their mission. But check this out, the church. We done had pandemic, hurricanes, fires. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We done had so much stuff going on. God closed the church, and the church is still not asking, is God pleased?
Come on.
See, they say it's the Lord house.
Come on.
And I remember a year and a half ago, all the houses was closed. Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Come on now, we know that man couldn't have closed them. Come on now.
Yes, sir.
We know that man couldn't have closed the house of God, so we must admit uniformly that God closed down his own house. And we still, all we want to do is go back to doing what we
want. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're comfortable.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We never ask the question, is God pleased? You know why? Because there's so much evidence that he's not. And in order for us to address this evidence that it's not, we have to look at some stuff we're doing. I was raised in the ghetto.
Come on.
There's a church on every corner
yes,
in the hood.
Yes, sir. Yes.
It's the only community that is saturated by church buildings. But the community is still sick. It's like going to a hospital and having more doctors than you do patients and everybody dying. Something's wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
But we don't want to ask the question. We don't want to talk about that.
Yes, sir.
We don't want to talk about if you go to a fifth ward, you got four churches on each block. You got in the best building in the whole town, in the whole fifth ward, is the $7 million church that's supported by people who make it $8 an hour. Y'all ain't with me this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Nobody want to preach like that.
Talk about what the pastor drives. Yes, talk about what the pastor drives.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But see, this is preaching. This is how Jesus would approach the situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes, sir.
That's how Jesus, you know, if you look at the way Jesus talked to the Pharisees and said, these were church folks.
Yes, sir.
But see, the church folks, we don't want to talk to church people like that. We want to talk to the people out there. Them people are committed to doing wrong.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the people who committed to being right.
Yes, sir.
Who failed it every day.
Yes, sir.
Simply because of M-O-N-E-Y.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? We don't want to talk about this stuff.
Yes, sir.
My ministry has changed because I saw God. You understand? And I understand who Jesus is. When you understand who Jesus is, you understand who you're not. And this discernment that the Holy Spirit gives you start revealing things and people in your life. And I often tell people on my Zoom, don't let your tradition become your truth. Just because grandma did it, don't make it right.
Yes, sir.
Don't let your tradition become your truth, because there's a whole lot of tradition that's sending people to hell.
Come on.
People say that they saved. I say, who saved you? And they stop right there. They don't know. Huh? And why are you saying, what did he save you from? You go to the book of Romans, you say he saved from the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Huh? Of those who deny his son.
Yeah.
Ain't that what it say?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So you say, who saved you? If I push you and pull you out of an ocean and you drown, and I saved you from drowning. And you're going to devote a certain part of your life to being gratified, being grateful.
Yes, sir.
If I push you out the middle of the road and the car about to hit you, you're going to say I saved you from being ran over by what? The car.
Yes, sir.
But when people in the church, all they talk about being saved, but they don't even understand who's saved and what they were saved from.
Yes, sir.
It is amazing how we stop at salvation. But Paul, in the book of Romans, came up with this new term.
Sanctification.
Church don't talk about it.
Sanctification. Come on, sir. Yes, sir.
How to live out your soul.
Yes, sir.
And I'm done.
Yes, sir.
I'm done.
Yes, sir. Okay, I know we gotta go, but let me just close with this.
Go ahead.
John, everybody know John 3:16. Y'all can quote it to the day I die.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world,
yes, sir,
that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm.
Whosoever believe on him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yes.
Everybody shout on that verse. But to me, that's a nice verse. And we thank God for it.
Mm-hmm.
But what Jesus says after is the mic drop.
Yes.
If you read a little further, he says, whoever does not believe is already condemned. Let me. Whoever does not believe is already condemned. You're gonna be judged on what you know about Christ, what you believe about Christ, and if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus, he don't have to judge. He don't have to judge you. You already subject to a lifetime in hell. Think about that statement.
Yeah.
Jesus saying, I don't want to judge him. Whoever does not believe is already condemned. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close. Whether you're young, old, black or white, we only got one shot to get this right. My mama died in March. But you know why? I got peace by her now. Because I know she knows Jesus. If I was worried about her not knowing Jesus, I'd be terrified for my mama. I'm terrified for people that say anything about Jesus. Because what they say or what they don't say or what they do or don't do tells me what they believe about Jesus Christ. So people got the idea about Jesus Christ. But does it match up with the biblical Jesus?
Come on now.
And with that, I'll close with this. As always, we like to leave you in the words of the great apostle Paul, Romans 8:28-29. For we know all things work together for the good that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose, who he predestined to be conformed, not to Reverend Ricky, not to Reverend Daniel, but to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, and may you continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ms. Gay, you got one more song for us?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Love you. I gotta stop the recording.
No turning back.
Good to see you, pal.
No turning back.
Hello.
The world behind me, the cross to hold me. The world behind me, the cross to hold me. The world. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.